It's 12:04. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on Monday, the 5th of December, 2011. Hope you had a wonderful, great weekend and spent too much time out there covering up all of the vegetation, the sensitive vegetation. I know that we did, and we were very glad this morning when we uncovered the sheets so they can get a little breathing room before we will be covering up this afternoon. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. We are on KVOI. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. If you have any doubts about it, just put KVOI on and drive up to Phoenix. You'll be able to hear the station all the way, probably to the Sky Harbor Airport area. And of course, our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of our previous programs. Also, the program is live streamed here at KVOI.com. And of course, there are three venues now for 24/7 anytime listening of the program: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. On Mondays, we begin the show with the Monday Political Face-Off, featuring one of our two teams of commentators, with each team believing that they are the A-team. With us today, Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. 30 minutes past the hour, a newsmaker interview with the president of the University of Arizona, Dr. Eugene Sander, will join us. He became the school's 20th president last summer when Dr. Robert Shelton left Tucson for Phoenix to head up the Fiesta Bowl. We encourage you to be a part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Every Monday on the Buckmaster Show, we kick off the week with the Monday Political Face-Off, featuring one of our two teams of commentators. It is Bruce Ash, Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. He's the current vice chair of the party. Want to tell you the Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's is next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. I was over to see Moe on Saturday with some framing needs. Believe me, this man takes care of business. Bruce and Paul, how are you guys?
Good.
Did you cover the plants?
Covered them and covered up over the weekend. It was cold and it was wet.
Yeah, I covered up my plants. And by the way, I do believe we are the A team because Bruce's name starts with an A.
That's right.
And mine is with an E. And Robigo and Munger, they're down the line on the alphabet. So yeah. Where are the A team?
Okay, the A team is with us today. Paul, let's begin with you. And I thank you for coming in today because I know you are missing. Well, you'll show up a little late for the Jonathan Rothschild inauguration luncheon.
Yep.
We do have officially a new mayor in the city of Tucson, and you have very high hopes, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I think Jonathan brings up the type of balance we've needed in that office for a while. You know, we have a weak mayor system, but one of the things the mayor can do is lay out a vision for how we want to move forward with our community. And I know Jonathan believes this because I've had long discussions about it with him, that we need a diversified economy here where we have sustainable jobs so that we can have all the community life issues we want, you know, open spaces, parks, a nice community to live in. And we aren't going to get that until we have that sustainable economy. And what I like about Jonathan is he's got that vision. He's got a plan to implement. Hopefully, I think with the makeup of the council, he's going to have the votes to do those type of efforts. And I think, frankly, I'm hoping that this is kind of a new day for Tucson and its future.
Is it a new day, Bruce Ash?
Well, I think so. Jonathan brings a lot to the job. And Jonathan and I had a conversation not long after he was elected mayor. And I made the comment to him, or the observation, that Tucson maybe has been on the wrong trajectory since back in the 1980s, we said no to Motorola and no to what was then the Butterfield Freeway.
Uh-huh.
And my recommendation was to him, we need to now get back on the course of saying yes to good jobs, saying yes to transportation, saying yes to moving our city forward. And I think we're going to initially see some, you know, relatively small things, even if it's just cleaning up the weeds and the medians. It's something that's going to give us all, I think, a better feeling for the place that we live. We love Tucson. We want this to be the best place it can be.
And I think it's real important that you know, some of the things he wants to implement to streamline city government in terms of just licensing for businesses and making it easier for them to get the code approvals that they need to get if they're like going to start a business or build something. Those things need to happen, because if that happens, I'm not saying that ordinances aren't important and those things need to be adhered to. It just needs to be consistent and streamlined so that people have in business has an easier time of getting something up and started. And that, I think that's what he's going to focus on right out of the blocks. If he does that, I think that's going to go a long way to developing a atmosphere that's positive towards businesses and jobs. And that's what we need first in this community. After that, we will be able to have the community I think we want if we get those jobs.
Well, hopefully Jonathan will work to when there are disparate signs amongst his own city council, we'll try to have some pressure. Even with a weak mayor, official governmental system, you can have a strong mayor. Immediately after the election, Regina Romero suggested that people take all their money out of the banks and put it into credit unions, and we needed, you know, to allow the Occupy Tucson people to have a permanent place and set up shop and so on and so forth. And Jonathan, I think, had some good, gentle persuasion for her. The city council needs to act, I think, once and for all on the matter of a permanent or a non-permanent venue for Occupy Tucson, certainly to set the record straight so that all groups are playing by the same set of rules.
It's 12:11 on the Buckmaster Show, talking about the new day. At least Paul Eckerstrom and Bruce Ash say it's a new day for the city of Tucson. Perhaps you would like to join in the conversation. 790-2040, 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. One more comment about small business. I know that Jonathan Rothschild wants and is going to establish kind of like a small business mini small business administration just for the city of Tucson, Paul Eckerstrom.
Yeah, he's going to have somebody in his office to be a liaison with small business to make sure that the concerns of some business owners get into the discussion at not only the mayor's level but also generally in the city council. I think he's going to have a good relationship with the business community because he always had one as a lawyer. I mean, that's what his law practice basically was. And so I think he knows the problem small business has, but keeping those ears open and listening is really important. And on top of that, I think the council, that the makeup of the council, especially with Paul Cunningham and Shirley Scott and Richard Fimbres and even Steve Kasachik, he's going to have enough votes to do what he wants in terms of business-oriented type of ordinances.
Well, the goal, I think, has to be, how do you say yes? How do you say yes?
Yeah.
How do you say yes to existing business people? How do you say yes to small businesses that want to start up and really need somebody who can and will say yes? And how do you meaningfully say yes to larger companies who might want to locate here and make Tucson a corporate headquarters or a regional headquarters?
Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. We have Charles ready to go. Charles has a question for Bruce Ash. Go ahead, Charles.
I've actually got two. I'd like to hear both of you comment on it, and I'll take my answer on the air because I want to be respectful of your time. Number one, what would you think of the idea of suspending enforcement of all building codes for, say, a year, 6 months, 9 months, whatever? Suspend the building codes. Let people do what they do in Houston and build whatever they want to build, number one. And then look at reviewing those building codes with a view towards eliminating, oh, say, half of them. That's idea number one. Second of all, what would you think of the idea of any business that charges sales tax, of allowing them to have an abatement in that tax in return for taking responsibility for the median within one block of their business? And however much money they pay an employee to trim the weeds or whatever it is they do, within reason, to take that amount off of what they pay into sales taxes, getting the giving business an incentive to do the work that the city of Tucson just won't do. And I'll take my answer to both of those on the air.
Thank you, Charles. Some thought-provoking ideas there. First of all, Bruce Ash, suspending the building.
That would be
building tax.
With all due respect to Charles, that would be.
Building codes.
Yeah, that would probably be a disaster. You need to have codes, but you need to have inspectors and a development services complement staff who knows how to work around problems and figures out how to say yes and overcome issues on the job. And I think, having been in the construction business and in the real estate business, I'd be very uncomfortable if there were no laws. Now, the flip side of that is there should be a concerted effort, and I hope Mayor Rothschild will, as well as the city council, sit down not just on the development services side, the building codes enforcement, but also on the Tucson land use code, and really once and for all decide they're going to reform both of those. I think that would be a step in the right direction.
I agree with Bruce on this, but one of the things I do know is that the services, the inspectors, what you get sometimes, and I've heard this from business owners, Democratic business owners, that they get one thing from one inspector, and then later that they go forward with their building, and then another inspector, a different one, comes in and says you can't do that after they got an approval. And that's a problem. You need to have consistency in enforcing those ordinances. The other thing is there is they've already been looking at the land use code and some of this stuff already to try streamline it. And one part of Jonathan's 180-day plan is to finish that up and get it on the books right away in the next 6 months, so that we do have a little bit better picture about what you can do and streamline some of the stuff that isn't really necessary anymore. So I think that process has already started, and he wants to make sure it's finished within the next 6 months. So I think that's a positive. As terms of the sales tax idea, I think that's a bad idea because, frankly, sales tax is the only real revenue that comes in for the city. And that pays for fire and police protection. I don't think a business owner is going to be able to do fire and police protection in their block. And that's the main cost of city government, is things like that. And I think
Charles was concerned, though, about the cleaning up the area around
the
business.
Well, and as we all know, the city's been under a really strict budget in recent years because of the recession. And I think that's why they're doing priority spending, which priority right now is usually goes to police and fire and some of those. And we're not seeing quite the cleanup as we've had in the past. I wish, if we get out of this recession, I'm sure we'll have that back.
One last word regarding development services is there has been talk, and probably there ought to be some serious discussion about how to turn that into an enterprise business, if you will, to run that department really with the expectation that it is a quasi-governmental but quasi-public private partnership with respect to development services, getting permits, and the inspection process. And I think part of what Paul describes as this, it depends upon the guy who shows up at your job, that's probably going to disappear just because it's an entirely different mindset for those folks who are out there working.
We have to quickly, before the break, you didn't answer Charles' second part of his question.
To the extent that somebody had legitimate expenses to clean up the sidewalks in that area along, the median and so on, perhaps there's some sort of a credit or something that could take place with respect to sales taxes. But Paul's right. Much of the city government has to do with police and fire protection, trash, parks and so on, and very little to do. Unfortunately, they don't spend hardly any money, it appears, on street beautification.
All right, 12:18 on the Monday Political Face-Off. We will be back on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your wall, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom with me here on the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash, the payroll extension tax, the deadline is the end of the year. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think the Congress probably will come to an agreement. The sticking point is going to be on how to pay for it, whether it is cutting expenses in an area or two, or taxing the rich, as the Democrats want to say. I hope it would be trying to spend less money, and if it has to be greater taxes, then spread it out amongst more taxpayers.
I think it absolutely needs to pass for at least another year because of the we're starting to see recovery. We got an 8.6 unemployment rate that's dropped from 9%.
Yeah, but 315,000 people left the job force.
I understand, Bruce, but we're climbing out of this recession slowly, albeit. But we need to keep it going that way. And economists have said if we don't extend this, that we could have a slowdown in GDP growth by 1 to 2% next year. And that would be disastrous in terms of our recovery. So I think it's absolutely necessary. And if you believe in the economic theory of marginal utility, where you take the money that a lot of wealthy people won't even use really to recycle in the economy and put it back in the economy by putting it in the pockets of some folks in the middle class or lower income brackets, that makes a lot of sense because that'll help jumpstart the economy. The problem is if we make cuts to programs that help folks in the lower income brackets or middle class, it's like robbing Peter to pay Paul in economic terms so that that money doesn't the tax cuts doesn't get recycled back into the economy as additional money because it's being taken out somewhere else.
Bill,
so that's why I think we need to do it the way the Democrats have proposed, or at least make sure if we're going to make cuts to pay for this, that those cuts don't hurt the middle class or lower income folks that need to have that money to recycle into the economy.
Bill, what Paul just explained is the corollary theory. This I'll call it the Pelosi-Eckerstrom theory
Pelosi
of economics.
Really? Every major economist knows what marginal utility is.
Speaker Pelosi said that the most important thing that we could do was extend the unemployment compensation benefits another 52 weeks or whatever it happened to be, because that was the greatest stimulus that we could provide in the economy. Look, I think that there are some problems with this tax holiday that ultimately affect Social Security and makes it more difficult for Social Security's inevitable viability or lack of viability. The most important thing is really not so much whether we have the holiday or not. I think there's really almost universal support for doing the holiday. The question is how do you pay for it? And if it comes out of a very few people's hides, or whether it is spread out amongst a greater number of taxpayers, is really the issue.
Well, I think it needs to come out of the very few people's hides who can afford it. And those people have benefited over the last 30 years
even though those
exponentially
people,
better than the rest of us.
Those people, Paul, are responsible for paying almost 90% of all the tax revenues.
I know you hear that all the time, but the top 1% has 47%, done really, really, really well
47%
in the last
of all Americans
years,
pay and absolutely no federal
and the rest
income
of us,
tax.
I mean, the study showed that the top 1% has exponentially increased their wealth compared to the rest of us over the last 3 years, which has been flat.
Perhaps they understand how to do that better than most people.
No. I think they rigged the system is why, because they buy lobbyists.
Oh, the black helicopter conspiracy.
12:26 on the Buckmaster Show. Let's go to Gloria now. Gloria is in the on the Buckmaster Show live line. Gloria, go ahead. You're with Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom.
What a great show.
Thank you.
I'm taking notes. One final thing on development services is that they really need some good training. There are some very, very high-level inspectors, and there are some that are just flying by the seat of their pants, and they never have time to stop and train on changes in the code and so forth. And just giving them tips, maybe an apprentice program within the development services, but training is a huge issue there. The question that I have is, Mayor Rothschild, and I've never said that, Mayor Rothschild, how can he take a leadership position in this negotiation with Rio Nuevo? Because that's a huge, huge hammer hanging over their heads, isn't it?
It is. That's a good point. Thank you, Gloria.
The city council has been, and the mayor has been literally cut out of this by this committee that was created by the state legislature to take it over. And the appointments came from basically, Governor Brewer up in Phoenix. And I think they don't have any hammer. The only thing that possible is that at some point, if this is all just going to be a political football, which it seems to be for the committee, that's been appointed by Phoenix politicians is to frankly give up the money and not do it anymore. And that's basically the only option the city council might have in terms of just, okay, well, if you guys are going to keep playing politics with this then and beating up the Tucson community about this, you know, maybe we just will have to give up the money and not try it anymore. And that would be a shame because I think there's been some good things done with Rio Nuevo downtown. It has had a positive impact. It's little known. But, you know, at some point, that commission has got to get off its butt.
It's little known because it hasn't been as a direct result of Rio Nuevo.
No, that's not true, Bruce. That's just not true.
Okay.
I mean, the parking garages, for one, is a perfect example. People always complain.
Infrastructure.
Yeah, infrastructure. People always complain.
You mean the ones
they couldn't
where they're giving
downtown.
People free utilities well, and discounting rent and picking winners and losers?
That was a whole different issue.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that doesn't have anything to do with Rio Nuevo. The parking garages actually have created a situation where people can come downtown and go to those restaurants and nightclubs that are started to show up there.
There probably will never be a TIF district in this state again. Because of the poor fashion that Rio Nuevo was run.
Gotta
it certainly didn't work that way in Glendale or in Phoenix, where they actually had a project and they went out and they built it.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's is next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. We may keep Bruce and Paul over for – oh, we're okay. Okay. Gentlemen, have a great day. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Thomason in Washington. Newt Gingrich is describing Donald Trump as a true American icon. He spoke after a private meeting today with Trump in New York. Trump had praise for Gingrich as well, but no endorsement, at least not yet. Some 28,000 jobs nationwide expected to be cut as a result of the cost-saving measures unveiled today by the Postal Service. Southern California Edison says about 26,000 utility customers are still without power. That's almost a week after the worst windstorm in a decade. Student government leaders at Florida A&M University are asking students to join them in pledging to end hazing at the school after a marching band member died last month. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 72 points, the NASDAQ ahead 28, the S&P 12 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com, We are watching Tucson.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and 5th Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
.1234 on the Buckmaster Show. The home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Then our simulcast partners in Globe and in Douglas, we figured we've got 8 of Arizona's 15 counties covered listening to the Buckmaster Show. And of course, there are 3 opportunities, 3 venues to hear the program anytime: buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. At least once a month here on the Buckmaster Show, we introduce you to a leader of one of Tucson's largest companies and organizations. The CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show is presented by TRIO, offering programs and services to support the attraction and expansion of companies that offer primary high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, TRIO has facilitated the relocation and or expansion of more than 40 companies in the Tucson region, representing nearly 11,000 jobs and a $2 billion economic impact. For more information, visit trioaz.org. Today we talk with TRIO board member Dr. Eugene Sander, who became the 20th president of the University of Arizona last summer. Dr. Sander was the vice provost and dean of the UA's College of Agriculture and Life Services. Dr. Sander, good to see you.
Well, thank you, Bill. I'm really glad to be here today.
Well, you're coming up now on 6 months into this new venture.
Yeah.
How would you characterize it?
Well, I can't consider myself a newbie anymore, but it's been an interesting period. I think one of the advantages I've had is the fact that I've been at the university for pretty close to 25 years, so I know most of the people. I know a lot of people in the state, and so while it's been a challenge, on the other hand, I've had an awful lot of help. I got a great team, and the fact that I know the people makes a huge difference.
Well, last week you announced something called the Tech Launch Arizona. We want to talk about that right off the top. This is a new center aimed at speeding up the time it takes to move new ideas and technologies from the research lab to the marketplace. How big a deal is this?
Well, it's a big deal, and it's part of the fundamental mission of any major, particularly any major land-grant university. As you probably know, Bill, we're one of the nation's major research universities. We have in the neighborhood of a budget of well over $500 million a year in terms of research that we put out the door. And obviously some of that is the sort of thing that ought to be looked at from the standpoint of, can it be commercialized? Can the public take advantage of it in a shorter rather than a longer period of time? Now, we do an awful lot of basic research. On the other hand, Tech Launch Arizona is designed to help us identify those areas where we could make a real difference with technology that is ready to move out the door and allow entrepreneurs to have access to it and do something with it that would serve the people of Arizona and nationally from that standpoint as well.
There have been some real major successes at the University of Arizona with tech transfer. You see this as kind of a enhancing what has already been in place and perhaps really building on those research dollars.
Yes, indeed. We have had some real successes. Things like Ventana Medical and others have made a huge contribution. To give an example, right now we have, I think, 64 licensed disclosures that are actually in the process of being utilized right now. On the other hand, when you consider the magnitude of our enterprise, we feel that we can do much better. And so, hence the idea of Tech Launch Arizona, which is going to sort of magnify what we're doing already. The other thing that's really important about this bill, and that is this is also going to be coupled back to the Eller College of Management, where the McGuire Entrepreneurial Center is, and we'd like to be able to take advantage of using this tech transfer thing we're doing to work with students in that entrepreneurship program because, again, anytime we get an opportunity to use our research enterprise to impact the education of students, we think that is a really, really important part of what we do.
And there's new leadership over at Eller. We talked with the new dean there, and he seems like a real go-getter.
Yeah, Len Jessup. Back before I became president, actually chaired the search committee that identified Len as the candidate of choice, and he comes to us from Washington State. He has a lot of experience in this area working with the private sector, and he's an individual that actually will be chairing the search for the founding director of our new Tech Launch Arizona, who, by the way, in order to make sure that everybody understands just how important we consider this, is now going to report directly to me as the president, and which means that I'll have an opportunity to be pretty heavily involved in how all of this happens. Not that I'll make a huge day-to-day impact, but I'll be in a position where I can move this along pretty briskly as we try to get this established up off the ground and going.
And the U of A Science and Technology Park has been a real success. Will Tech Launch Arizona then oversee that park?
No, it's going to be actually, well, I don't know, oversee it. It'll be actually the other way around in that Tech Launch Arizona will be, first of all, we're looking at it in sort of a pipeline effect. And the first thing that needs to be done is identify the science that is commercially or could be commercialized, then make sure we get appropriate patents, licensing agreements. And then the tech park also has an incubator center out there. And so actually this founding director will have reporting to him or her the tech park and those incubators as well. So indeed, our goal here is to make it as easy as possible for one of our scientists to commercialize his or her ideas and at the same time make it very easy for an entrepreneur to pick up on that and carry the ball the next steps or, for that matter, for a much larger company to simply purchase licensing rights to that thing and move it forward. So hence the idea of a pipeline. First identify the science that can be commercialized. Perhaps then it's ready for an entrepreneur to take it to an incubator. And then later on, perhaps when it's a more of a mature company, to become part of our tech park.
How do you view economic development right now and the University of Arizona's role in it?
Well, when you stop and think about it, just from a standpoint of the magnitude of the operation. In Arizona, in the whole state, our research enterprise is over $1 billion. That's in combining us at about $600 million, ASU at $350 and NAU making up the difference. Our enterprise is the sort of thing that we need to celebrate and take advantage of. I mean, everybody knows that a more highly educated person is a person that has a better job, a better income. We can create an environment where companies like to be in cities where universities are. We need to, this tech transfer thing, it's the sort of thing where we need to associate ourselves with entrepreneurial people who wish to commercialize what we do. Sure, we're a land-grant university, and even though not every one of these discoveries is going to be a home run, but the point is that if you do it over and over and over again, pretty soon it makes a pretty good size impact. So I think if you look at the University of Arizona, at least in Tucson, Arizona, you'd have to conclude we surely are one of the drivers for economic development in this community.
Coming up now on 1243 on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Eugene Sander is with us in our interview, a CEO interview series presented by Trio, and you are on the Trio board. Do you like what Trio's doing?
Yes, I do. I've had an opportunity to meet with Joe Snell and other leadership members, and I think as I see the sorts of things they're interested in doing, for example, on Wednesday, they're having a conference here called Idea Funding.
Yeah, and I think one of the keynoters.
Yeah, I'm going to be talking there where we'll introduce the idea of Tech Launch Arizona. But there's an opportunity for people in the business community who might want to become familiar with what's going on to attend that conference and figure out what's going to happen.
December 7th, Tucson Marriott University Park Hotel, right over by the university. That event, 8 a.m. to 5:30 in the afternoon, and registration, I understand, is still open. So if folks want to drop by, this might be a great opportunity
for it. I would imagine there will be plenty of room. I'm glad you had that venue because, frankly, Bill, I've kind of forgotten it. So thanks so much for broadcasting what we're doing here.
All right. 1244 on the Buckmaster Show, and Dr. Sander has agreed, and we thank you very much to stick around for the final segment of the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Trio. We will be back with the Buckmaster Show and Dr. Sander heading up the University of Arizona. Stay with us.
RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at VeroAmorePizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
There are 1 million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have 1 million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
It's 1248 on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Eugene Sander, president of the University of Arizona. He's the 20th president of the University of Arizona, and he is our guest on the Buckmaster Show. And we hope to have Dr. Sander on a pretty regular basis on this program. We'd like to have you. I mean, certainly there's plenty to talk about it maybe every 6 weeks about the University of Arizona.
Yeah, I would say.
Lots going on. The Board of Regents signed off pretty much on the expansion of the stadium. This is huge.
Yes, it really is. And it's the person that really has put this in place has been our athletic director, Gregory Byrne. He's really a great person who's doing a marvelous job. He spearheaded the recruitment of Rich Rodriguez, our new coach. And moving this project forward, I think, will really modernize a lot of things important for the men's football program at the university. It'll have better locker rooms, better weight rooms, and, of course, the football program will be housed in that area. So it's an important project. And, you know, we're essentially raising the money for that project by private philanthropy. So it'll be a great testament to Greg's entrepreneurial spirit, and I think it'll make a huge difference to the viewing experience of fans who come to Arizona Stadium to watch our football program in the future.
And you and Greg Byrne had a big decision midway through the football season to say goodbye to Coach Stoops and then begin the recruitment process. Of any of the major college football teams, I think we were ahead of the game by making that move mid-season, because it's almost unprecedented right now in the Pac-12. There are so many coaching open vacancies, including up the road at ASU.
Right. Yeah, that that really did make a difference, because it allowed Greg, who carried the load in terms of that recruitment. And by the way, I should say that the recruitment of major athletic coaches is quite different than the normal recruitment of people in universities. So it was a lot of work that he went through in terms of vetting a variety of candidates, checking with the NCAA, doing just a variety of things that are really important if you're going to have a successful coaching program of the magnitude that we have. And the fact that we got started early allowed us to be doing this prior to the time that ASU announced, to UCLA, Washington State University. And I guess there's Kansas and Illinois are all looking now, Texas A&M. So the fact is that Greg had a chance to do what we needed to do prior to having competition with all of these other places, all of which are, you know, great universities that will attract outstanding coaches. And we feel that Coach Rodriguez definitely falls in the category of being a great football coach, and we're very, very pleased that our recruitment ended with being able to attract him to the University of Arizona.
He was actually my choice. I'm really glad that it worked out with Coach Rodriguez, because I was a Dick Tomey fan, quite honestly. I liked the fact that Coach Tomey was so accessible to the people in the community. If you're at the grocery store, you go up to him and say, "Coach, how you doing? How's the team doing?" And he would take a few moments to visit with you. And just from what I've seen with Coach Rodriguez, he's willing and able to talk to people.
Right. Yeah. Coach Rodriguez has really reached out, I guess, at the basketball game on Saturday night. He came down, he talked to the students, he went up in Zona Zoo and participated with them. So he's really reaching out to the community in every way that he possibly can. I know they're having several events, one in Phoenix and one in Tucson, for him to just come and meet the public, which I think knowing him a little bit now, he surely is a man who will do an excellent job. I, too, was a fan of Dick Tomey. Dick reached out to the academic community in that the assistant or associate coaches used to take a dean out to lunch and tell us a bit about the football program. But I think the most important thing, and I hope this is something that will be picked up on, every year the graduating seniors would identify the instructor in the university that they thought had made the biggest difference to them. And then Coach Tomey would have a reception at his home where the seniors would introduce their favorite college teacher, which was a great thing. It made all of us in academia feel good about the football coach and, you know, good about Arizona athletics. And we have been really fortunate over the years to have an athletics program that we academics can be truly proud of.
You decided not to hold kind of an annual speech that had become something of a state of the university speech as a tradition. You have held two of three town halls, and you actually have a third, the final third and final town hall is coming up on December the 8th this week at noon at the Duval Auditorium at the Medical Complex. Did you want more of kind of a one-on-one experience?
Yeah, Bill, I can give a prepared speech about as well as anybody can, but the point is that what I'm trying to do is communicate with people in that university. My goal is to, in the year or so that I will be the president of the University of Arizona, to make that a most attractive place for what I call president next, the next person that comes in to give leadership to the university. And the way to do that is we have no secrets over there. And I feel really comfortable communicating with a group of people. The only rule we have in those public forums is there are no rules. In other words, any question is up for grabs, and my vice presidents have agreed to come along with me, and they sit there, and if there's something I can't answer, and believe me, there's a lot going on at the University of Arizona that a president sometimes is not totally familiar with. So it's been a success as far as I'm concerned. We've done three of these already, and people seem to think that they work pretty well. I did them the year I was provost, and that's where I sort of got in the habit of doing this, but yeah, I kind of view myself as a pretty good one-on-one guy, and so it's working quite well for us.
The Board of Regents asking for a pretty good increase, large increase, 17.5% in the next year's funding at the legislature. Why is that request being made, that large increase?
Well, obviously the state has had some real difficulties in terms of their finances. I can't always speak for the board, but let me speak for myself in terms of how we looked at that. I've always viewed a legislative request as doing two things. One, it says what we could use and use right now, but I think it also advises our colleagues in the legislature as to what we need over a longer period of time. To give an example, I'm a realist. If we get any of our current budget funded this particular year, I think we should feel quite good about that. On the other hand, I think that our budget request calls for some additional money for the Phoenix Biomedical Campus. It talks more about our outreach program here, where we're working with community colleges out in the state, to name just a few things. I'd like to tell the legislature just how important this is to us, so that as things turn around with our economy and they get to the point where they can fund more of the important programs to the university, that they'll be able to consider these, realizing that they've been in front of them for maybe a year, maybe 2 years, maybe even more, so that when money does, when it's more realistic to ask them to fund things, that they have an idea, a firm idea of what we're interested in doing, and it just isn't a quick request. It's one that falls into the category of being something we've needed for quite a few years.
Dr. Sanders with us, president of the University of Arizona, on the Buckmaster Show. Folks, listen to the Buckmaster Show in Cochise County, and I know the University of Arizona has a program in Sierra Vista. Is that going to be continued to be full funded?
Yeah, absolutely. U of A South is what we're talking about. As a matter of fact, One of the things that we're really interested in doing is working more closely with Cochise Community College, which is literally our next-door neighbor down there. I can see some things that we could do that would allow an easier, smoother transition from community college on an academic track to the University of Arizona South, and or making it even smoother for a young person in the Sierra Vista or Cochise area, Eastern Arizona, I guess I should say, to transition to the U of A. And so that's one of our goals right now, and that is to smooth out the transitions between the high-quality community colleges we have in Arizona, Pima, Cochise, Central, et cetera, and make sure that a young person who wishes to take advantage of the excellent opportunities they have there can just seamlessly move right to the university and finish off a baccalaureate degree.
You don't foresee any more budget cutting in this next session of the legislature?
Well, Bill.
Is the blood letting over?
We hope so, Bill. The discussions that I've had with members of the legislature is that right now, actually, the state is running a bit of a surplus compared to what they projected the economy was going to do in our state. So I think I feel pretty comfortable that we will have no more cuts. On the other hand, the legislature really had to go through some very difficult times. They had to borrow money. They had to do a variety of things. And so I would imagine that a lot of other things are going to have to be fixed, and then they'll be in a position where they can start worrying about funding higher education again. But there's a lot of need for funding in the government at Arizona.
Dr. Sander, thank you very much. If we don't see you before the holiday season, well, we're in the holiday season. Have a great great season, and then we'll look forward to speaking with you here on the Buckmaster Show early in 2012.
You bet. Thank you, Bill. Look forward to seeing you next year.
Thanks a lot. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show, our Monday edition. We thank Dr. Sander, President of the University of Arizona, and of course Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom with our Monday political face-off. We will see you back here tomorrow with the Buckmaster Show live, noon to 1 on KVOI, AM 1030, The Voice. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.